is from 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Thank you, Rodney. I have just decided to spare an easily embarrassed teenager that I won't do my Randy Macho Man impersonation after all. But she does say it is good. But today we're going to be talking about macho and macho attitudes. Part of growing up, it is natural to want to be able to do more things on your own. To do them without God, though, is just plain foolishness. I've heard the Bible referred to before by people I've worked with and people I've went to school with as just a bunch of children's stories that are not believable or fathomable. And those comments are not made by very educated people. They probably only went to church as little children, and that's the only knowledge and the only stories that they could remember is the children's stories. The Bible is far more than that. Following the Bible and following God's word is not a childish thing, and we're not to put it away. Growing up means growing up and making your own decisions and your own choices and being your own man. Choosing between being independent and faith is a decision that costs many people their souls. Being macho as a sign of independence and a sign of growing up and that you don't need anybody else anymore, that you can do things on your own. And guys might be slightly more likely to fall into this category than women, but women sometimes want to do their own thing too. You don't always have to be a macho man. Brother Troy read part of this morning in Philippians, the second chapter, verses 5-8. Says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the death, even to the death of the cross." Christ wasn't worried about what anybody else thought of him. He was obedient. Some say that belief in God just makes you weak, but it's far from that. It just means that you're smart. It means you're concerned for your future and concerned for your eternity and not being short-sighted. To say that believing in God makes you weak is being very short-sighted. Because if you do have that opinion, then your eternity is, you're going to be begging for mercy, but you won't get any. As I mentioned earlier, guys may be more susceptible to macho attitudes overall. As much as society tries to modernize, men still have a major duty in the household. They're still the head of the house, according to the Bible, and according to a Christian house, that's how it should be. As the father goes, a lot of times that's how the children are going to follow. And statistics show that. Men need to know their role as kids look up to them as the power figure or the powerful parent. If that powerful parent looks up to God as a base for their strength, then so will they. Just look around you and you can see it in your own congregation. Putting macho pride aside and following God is the key to showing our children where the real power comes from. James 4:10, it says to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Also, a few weeks ago when John Lee was up here for the VBS, he mentioned some percentages in one of his talks about the likelihood of children staying in the church, and I think they fit this topic today. With both parents staying in the church, they have about an 80% chance of following God and staying in the church themselves. A believing mom, just by herself bringing the children to church, have about around a 30% chance of staying in the church. A believing dad, only 70% chance of staying in the church. Most kids look to their dads as their tough guy and the guy that they look up to for strength. Leaning on or not leaning on Christ for strength makes a huge impact. Macho is just ego and stubbornness. Some people say that they are tough, but they're in a gang, which many view as tough because they're in a pack. They fight in packs. They rely on each other. They choose the wrong people to watch their backs. You don't have to be in a gang or either to choose the wrong people to have your backs. Anybody that has false ideas about God can influence the way that you can or do think. Over in number 16, Korah led a rebellion against Moses because he had a tough ego. He thought that he could lead the people better than Moses did. And if you look in that same chapter, 16, verses 31 through 35. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder and was under them, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up, and all their houses, and all the men that appertained to Korah and their gods, and they and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up too. And there came up out of fire of the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. God showed them the hard way that their arrogant attitudes weren't appreciated. And it wasn't going to be tolerated. Saying that someone is not macho and are weak, that they because they need God, that is a cop out. There are a lot of guys in this congregation here today that I would not want to have mad at me. And that comes not just by being strong physically, but because they have earned respect. They earn that respect because of their Christian ways, and they have made them someone that you don't want to let down. If you watch an interrogation on a television show, almost every hardened criminal has a breaking point at which they will speak and tell their story and tell what they know, and their tough macho facade finally just runs out. There's no more left of it. They break down. They are told that they will face horrible and immediate consequences if they don't fess up. We are faced with that option, to follow God and accept His guidance, or to face hellfire when our life is over. If it was now, if God told you your time is now, would you be fessing up and trying to make something right at the last minute because you've been trying to hide something or put up a facade in front of everybody else. Some of us here today are going to choose to test whether or not the Bible is bluffing or not. It's not bluffing. God will call your bluff, so you better check your egos at the door. Egos and macho attitudes are all about self-image. Matthew 6:23, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and man." In Joshua 24:15, it says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord." Hopefully that's our choice. If not, I feel sorry for you. Over in Luke, the 5th chapter, verses 3 through 8. "And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy will I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were on the other ship, that they should come help them. And they came and filled both ships, so they began to sink. And Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." At first, Peter didn't believe that Christ knew what he was talking about, because they had fished all day and not caught anything, which was showing his stubborn side. Then he decided that he would go ahead and follow Christ's command, and there was a payoff to follow Christ's command and not to listen to his macho side that he knew what was best. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We hope for ourselves to be held in high esteem." Our faith can do that for us if we trust in it, and if we're strong in our faith. It's not macho to believe in something that you can't see. Or is it? Is it not macho to believe in all those Old Testament stories, which in today's world seem a little bit out of reach for those things to happen? John 20. Verses 25 through 29. "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto him, Except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into the side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again the disciples were within, and Thomas with them, and they came. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then he said to Thomas, Reach forth thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen yet have believed." Thomas had to believe by seeing. And Christ said, more blessed is the person that has not seen me, and they still believe. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 2, tells us to be followers of God as dear children. We're supposed to be innocent and not to grow out of believing something that will save us in the end if we hold on to it. There isn't any amount of toughness that will be able to handle the pains of hell without weeping or gnashing of teeth. We're guaranteed of that. A lot of times we don't want to think about that now, but that's the case. That's what we're up against if we put up a macho attitude and think that our way is better. The tough man with God can succeed and overcome Satan. Sometimes with being macho, you even have to admit you were wrong. If you have Christ, you can be tough, and you never have to admit that you're wrong, because you're never wrong. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 24 through 27. By faith, Moses, when he was come in 2 years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ rather than riches and treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible, meaning Christ. Moses chose to follow Christ rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin, where he could have stayed over with the Egyptians and not gone back to his people, but he decided that he was going to do what God wanted him to do and do the right thing. And in 30 through 34 of that same chapter, it says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah and of David also, and of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned flight of armies of the aliens. Are these not things that are normally thought of as macho things to do? They were done of men who had the power of God through their faith inside them. Being tough can be being thick-headed, or it can be faithfully serving God through all that Satan might throw at us. Are you a tough nut to crack for Satan? Or does he have you saying that he's your daddy? If so, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. You have a chance to put aside whatever's been bothering you. If there's something in your life that you need to get rid of and you need our help, you have a chance to get rid of that. Every time we meet together, we extend a gospel invitation to you. If you decided that being tough isn't the way to do things, and that you need God, and that having God on your side isn't such a bad thing, and it will make you stronger, and you want to make Christ a part of your life and be baptized, you have that chance too as we stand and sing our invitation song.